And so today we're going to look at being thankful, but it's interesting. The first verse that we're going to read is where I feel like the Lord started the sermon, because he just often, when I'm asking God what I should preach about, because I don't believe in just preparing a speech. I know that if I just give you a speech that I have crafted and come up with, it might be a good speech, but if it's not led by the Holy Spirit, then it's just words, and you can get words anywhere. I mean, our lives are inundated with words all the time, you know? But when God speaks, and so often I'll just hear like a verse or a piece of a verse, and I heard the words, nor were thankful. So I looked it up, you know, very spiritual on Google, you know, and the scripture verse came up, and it is Romans 1:21. So if you want to stand, we're going to read that verse. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now you can be seated. This chapter is the first chapter that Paul, led by the Holy Spirit and inspired by the Spirit, wrote to the church in Rome, the book of Romans. And he explains in this chapter of how the people, because they did not glorify God, they ultimately ended up worshiping creation, which is what happens in our world today. I mean, if we do not choose to worship God, we will worship. If we don't worship the Creator with our lives, we will worship creation. Whether we worship self or another person or a thing or success, all of those things are not made to be worshiped. And when we worship those things, our lives get out of balance and out of whack. And people spend their whole life trying to attain something. And then once they attain it, they go, is this it? Is this all there is? Because none of those things will satisfy us. And we come to the end. We can come. People come to the end of that and they realize it's not enough, because we were created to have fellowship and to walk in relationship with our Creator. And so Paul is explaining, the Holy Spirit is explaining here, if we don't choose to walk in relationship with him. And there are a lot of people that they say, oh yeah, I know God. A lot of people can say, yes, the God that, you know, lives in, even people in America. Now in other countries, they know lots of gods. But like in our country, a lot of people believe about or believe in the God, the man upstairs, you know, the one that created everything. Yeah, I know. I get it that, you know, God created the heavens. The problem with that is the Bible says even the demons believe and tremble. So if our lives are not surrendered through that belief into making Jesus Lord, which means supreme authority, Jesus, I take self off of the throne of my life, and my decisions I now submit to you for your approval, for your wisdom, for your direction. And that means everything. Jesus did not mince words when he walked on the earth. When he called his disciples, he said, come follow me. And they left everything. And he still calls us to be willing to leave everything. Now, all of us, he doesn't tell us, you know, sell everything that you have like he did the rich young ruler, but he might. And we need to be willing, if he calls us to do that, to say, God, I am too attached to my stuff, but you are worth it. And if you will help me, I will lay other stuff down in order to pursue you. And the Christian life is God revealing those things to us. When we go through hard times, when things in our lives don't make sense, will we choose to walk with him still? Wednesday night, I want to challenge you to be here. Raise your hand, Kim. Kim Hill back there is going to be sharing with us Wednesday night about the accident that changed their lives, her and Rich's life, and how the doctors said all of these things that Rich would never do, and yet here he is. And it's going to be a powerful testimony of God's redemption and of walking through a hard time of what God can do. And so I encourage you, we're going to have communion, and we will have, the classes will be in here. We won't have classes except for nursery. The youth are going to lead the worship, and so anyway, it's going to be a great night, and so 6:30 Wednesday night until about 7:30, 7:40, and then you can go home and cook all your stuff, you know, for Thanksgiving. So okay, so notice this verse, Romans 1:21 says, Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. And so I just want to show you, if you put up the first slide, Joe, not being thankful is a big deal. That's the first thing that I want you to take away from that. Because listen, in our world today, it is very easy to be unthankful. We are inundated all the time with you need this and these people have that and you should look like this and, you know, whatever. They say social media, it is detrimental if teenagers or adults, for that matter, spend a lot of time on social media because it's a comparison game. And we know most of us do not post pictures of ourselves looking awful. You know, if you're like me, Rick sometimes laughs at me because it takes me at least 3 pictures to get to where I like it. And I don't post pictures that often. But we don't post pictures of ourselves looking awful. And we post these pictures that show our lives in these great moments. And the reality is we know that is a moment. The rest of the 24 hours, you know, 23 hours of the day, we don't necessarily look like that or act like that. And so it's a comparison game that lies to us. And we go, oh, look at those people. Their family is so perfect and they have so much fun and they always look beautiful. And, you know, and it's a lie. I mean, none of us are like that. Let's face reality. And so it's important because choosing not to be thankful sets the tone for our thought life. And what we focus on is very important. Proverbs 23:7. And I told Joe on my notes that it was Proverbs or Psalms, but it's Proverbs. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I have seen that verse so many places lately because God wants us to understand as we think in our heart, it determines the direction of our lives. If you allow your thoughts to feel sorry for yourself and look at what everybody else has and think about what you don't have, instead of choosing to be thankful, you will live a life of misery. And the truth is, in this country, everybody in here is richer than a whole lot of the world. All of us have multiple things to be thankful for. And if you don't choose to be thankful, you will spend your life miserable. That's just the reality because ungratefulness and selfishness go hand in hand. Now, I want to show you this verse. 2 Timothy 3:1-2 says, and they'll put it up there in a minute, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Notice how this is in that, you know, guys, all of you that are not, that, you know, that are have parents. unthankful, unholy. So unthankful is right in there with all of this other stuff. It keeps on going with a list of sins. And so it is a big deal that we be thankful, that we have thankful hearts. Now, we choose what to focus on every day, and we can choose thankfulness to our Creator, or we can choose not to be thankful. We have a choice. We've been talking about this over the past weeks, that we can choose, that we are to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. A lot of people think, well, I can't control my thoughts. Yes, you can. We have a choice on what we dwell on. Now, we can't always choose the thoughts that run into our head, that come into our head. You have some control over that, too, by what you're watching and listening to. I do want to say that. Because if you're watching and listening to crap all day, that's what your thought life is going to be about. That's the reality. So you need to be aware. I mean, that's just how it is, you know? But if you are listening to truth, then that will help your thought life. But then in addition to that, we can choose what thoughts we allow to swirl in our head. Because I don't know about you, but we can have so many conversations in our head that are never going to happen. And spend so much wasted time rehearsing conversations that we're never going to have because God doesn't want us to have them or they don't need to be had. You can bring those thoughts into captivity and go, I am not spending my day dwelling on that. I will choose thankfulness. I will choose, the Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I have a choice to keep my mind focused on the Lord Jesus and on what he has done for me. But We have to choose. We have to choose thankfulness. When sin came into the garden, and when Adam and Eve chose sin, they chose selfishness. And because of that, selfishness is now our default. That's why we have to teach our children to say thank you. They don't say thank you naturally. Selah is almost a year old. She'll be a year old on December 8th. And she expects that I will do things for her. And she does not naturally say thank you at all. In fact, she screams at me if I don't do what she wants me to do when she wants me to do it. That's how they grow up. They don't grow up just little angels. You know, they do smile at you. But we have to teach them. I want to show you. Will you play that video, Jude? Now, I want to preface this. This is Jude. Jude is a great kid. But he's a kid. And he was having a moment because he was already upset over something that I had told him no to. And then Rick had given him food, and we're training him. So if we give you food, you say thank you, and you'll see his response. Will you play that video, Joe?
Say thank you.
Thank you. What
is the problem?
So you can hear in the next second Rick saying, "What is your problem?" Because Rick didn't know that Jude was already upset, but I knew, and I'm like, that's okay. This will make a great illustration, you know? And so, because we know all of you that have children have experienced that, like, but the reality is, how many of us adults have done that to God? God doesn't do things in the timing that we thought that he should, or in the way that he should, we think he should. And so we go, thank you. You know, with this ungrateful attitude that doesn't really represent all of the other stuff that he has done for us. The reality is God sent his son to die on the cross for us so that we can spend eternity in heaven. If he did nothing else ever for us, that's enough. But he does so much for us every day. But you will miss what he's doing if you're busy focused on what he's not. Listen, our whole life can be spent this way. I can focus on what my husband does for me, or I can focus on what he doesn't do for me. We have a choice. He is a great husband. But if I focus on all of the things that he doesn't do, then I'm going to be miserable despite the fact that I have a good husband. We serve a good God. And if we spend our lives pointing out the things that he hasn't done according to our plan, and God is not manipulated, so he will not do it just because you're going to get mad at him. He'll let you get mad just the way I do with my children. I mean, I'm not going to change the plan just because it makes you mad if you're wrong. I'm going to tell you, you need to get your attitude straight. And that's what God does with us. We need to have a thankful heart. And so if we want to be thankful people, we need to allow the Lord Jesus to teach us, because he lived a life of thankfulness. Something that I learned as I studied for this message, which I thought was so cool. Jesus, and my second point, this is my second point. If you put up that slide, Joe, Jesus offered his life in thanksgiving. He offered his life. And I want to show you a particular way that he did that. We know that he did that. But listen, the Old Testament and the way that God explains it in the New Testament is so cool. Like, I know that it can be challenging to read about all the laws in the Old Testament. But when you start to see that they were a picture of what God was going to do through Jesus, it is amazing. And if you read the laws in like Leviticus, you realize God was really smart. The Jewish people were way ahead of the other people in that day because of the laws that God put in place. And he said, if somebody has a running issue, you don't do this. If they have this disease, you burn the house, or, you know, whatever. He was so wise. But I want to show you the Thanksgiving offering. And then we're going to see how this represents Jesus, because it's very cool. Leviticus 22, verses 29 through 30, says, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. On the same day it shall be eaten. You shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord." Okay, so we're going to break this down because this is very cool. So when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. That's important, because how many of you had somebody say thank you? And you know, they're saying thank you because they're required to. It is not the same as when somebody says, thank you. Like, I'm so grateful. We need to offer thanksgiving to God. And I would encourage you, the Bible says in Psalm 100, we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. If we will come into God's presence, specifically in church, but all the time in our lives with thanksgiving, it will transform your experience in church. I know my friend shared a thing on the Instagram the other day that somebody said, I didn't like the worship today. And the person responded, that's okay. It wasn't for you. It's not for us. It's for him. So let's just keep that in perspective. I thought that was really good. I did the little clappy hand things, you know. So, okay. Offer it of your own free will. Now, Jesus offered his life of his own free will. I want to show you how this Thanksgiving offering represented Jesus. So it's the wording is offer a Thanksgiving offering of your own free will. John 10, 18, Jesus said, no one takes it from me. He's talking about his life, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And so he lay down his life of his own free will. It was an offering to God, for us. Number two, it says, on the same day it shall be eaten. You shall leave none of it until the morning. I am the Lord. Now it's interesting. I want you to look in Matthew 26. In Matthew 26 is the communion. And this is a cool thing to keep in mind for when we take communion on Wednesday night. This is when Jesus was doing the Passover with his disciples. And so he is instituting communion while he's doing the last Passover with his disciples, which was a Jewish feast at the time. But all of that stuff, all of those feasts, all of those things that God instituted, they all had a purpose. They all had something that God was teaching his people and teaching us. And so in Matthew 26, it says, verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now he had spoken in John 6 and told the people, I am the bread from heaven. And the people got all offended. No, we know where you came from. Jesus came down as a picture of the bread that satisfies us. The Bible says part of the Lord's prayer is give us this day our daily bread. We need Jesus every day. His life in ours is what sustains us. But let's keep reading. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. Anytime, let me just tell you this. Anytime that you're reading the Bible and you come to a portion of scripture and you go, why is that there? Like, God, why would you say it like that? Always pay attention to that. Because often it is the Holy Spirit showing you something and preparing to teach you something. Because when we read the Bible, we don't read it like we do a textbook and try to figure it out on our own. The Bible says that the natural man does not understand the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. So if I try to take the Bible as logical and with my intellectual mind figure everything out, I'm going to be like, this doesn't make sense to me. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us, the Bible says, comparing spiritual with spiritual. What that means is as you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit will point things out and go, didn't you read that concept somewhere else? Or he'll show you a piece, you'll remember a piece of a scripture and go, wait, I think I read something like that somewhere else. And if you will look those scriptures up, it's like the Holy Spirit starts connecting dots between the Old Testament and the New Testament, or between the New Testament and the New Testament, or between something that Jesus said and something that Paul said. And he begins to connect the dots. And that's what God did in this message. It says, Jesus said, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, back in Leviticus 22, remember, if you put that back up again, Leviticus 22:30 says, on the same day it shall be eaten, you shall leave none of it until the morning. Leviticus 22, verse 30. You shall leave none of it until the morning. I am the Lord. So they were supposed to eat all of this meal because the Thanksgiving offering, part of it they ate and part of it they offered. And that, even that to me is cool because we know we're supposed to give thanks when we eat a meal. And when we invite God, this was like they were having a meal while thanking God at the same time. And this is what we do in our lives when we give thanks. And I would encourage you, give thanks. Don't just go, oh, God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. You know what I'm saying? And not really pay attention to what you're praying. Like, give thanks to God. And in picture is it, God, I'm having a meal with you. I'm inviting you into this. And I am thanking you that you have provided for me. And so, but here, Jesus said, drink. He offered his whole life as an offering. And this Thanksgiving offering, they were supposed to eat all of it. And Jesus offered his whole life. It continues, I am the Lord. That is the most important way to live in Thanksgiving, is to remember that he is the Lord. To give him lordship of our lives. And what we say and what we do and what we watch and listen to and where we go and how we spend our time, that we would do all of those things as unto the Lord, because Jesus gave the example when he came to the earth. So I want to finish this out with the last point. The last point is that thankfulness needs to be our lifestyle. It will change your life if you will choose thankfulness every day. If you will choose, God, I thank you that I have a job that I can work. Lord, I thank you that I can do this, that I am able to do the things that I'm doing. God, I just all day choose thankfulness. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, so every word and every action, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That by him is talking about the Lord Jesus. So we do it by his grace in our lives, and we do it as unto him. Everything that we do, whatever we're doing in word or deed, we do it as unto him, so that our words are a reflection and a thanksgiving unto him. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you are wondering what the will of God is for your life, it is that you have a thankful heart and live with thanksgiving. It will change your outlook, and then you will change the outlook of other people. We all affect one another. Negativity spreads, but so does a positive outlook. How many of you have ever been in a mood and then somebody just smiles at you and they're so friendly to you and you're like, all of a sudden, like it just kind of changes you a little bit. This is how we as Christians are to live. That's why the Bible says we're to do all things without murmuring and complaining, so that we will shine as lights in the universe. Because if we're complaining, we're not shining as a light. But when we stop complaining and we do everything with a positive, thankful attitude, then we shine, because the world doesn't necessarily live like that. And so our attitude shows that we're different, and that will give us an opportunity to give a reason of the hope that's in us. Psalm 104, I read earlier, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Psalm 50:23 says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God. And then the last one I want to show you is it's how we pray. When we come in prayer, we need to include thanksgiving. And I've shared this verse so many times because I live by these verses. But Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing. In our world, I don't know about how you've heard about it, but it's anxiety is on the rise. Like, it is a struggle for everybody, it seems like, from the young to the old. And so the scripture can teach us what to do about that. God knew that we were going to experience that. And so it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. We serve the God who put the stars in the sky. So when we feel anxious, we can come to him and admit that, God, I am anxious about this situation. I do not know how to handle it, but I know that you are the God of the universe. And this Christian life is meant to be lived in fellowship with Jesus all day, every day. To offer every problem to him, to seek his will in every situation, to walk with him all day long. Anything less than that, you're getting robbed. And you might be deceiving yourself. Because the Christian life where I come and park myself in a seat and then go back and live my life and then I come back and park myself in a seat, that Christianity does not exist. That's not a Christian. That is coming to church. And coming to church is a good thing because maybe you'll hear the truth. But living as a Christian is defined by having Jesus as the Lord of my life. And so it continues, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And I've shared this often, y'all. I will go through this verse like a formula. When I find myself overwhelmed, I'll just start thinking about the verse and I take it like a formula. And so it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then I have to like go back and, okay, thank you, God. Thank you that you are here. Thank you that you know what I'm going through. Thank you that you are bigger than this problem, even though it feels very big. Thank you that you love me. You know, and that's how it goes. And then it continues. And let your request be made known to God. Notice the placement. Just saying. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. So I want to end with Ephesians 5, verse 20. We actually read this verse in Sunday school this morning. Ephesians 5, verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things. That is an amazing verse. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we will live with thankful hearts and choose to focus on the God who is faithful and who loves us, it will change our perspective and allow us to see things from his point of view. So, Joe, if you will just play a song, we just want to give you an opportunity. If you need prayer for anything, if you need, like Rick was talking about earlier, to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus, we just want to make that available to you.